up, guys? Altered State Podcast. I'm Brandon. That is John.
That's me.
Episode 65.
60? Look at us. 65. You know, I'm sure someone who's playing for the Cardinals right now is wearing 65 because there's like a gajillion of them.
Right.
But I don't know who it is. I'm sure there's some relief pitcher.
Yeah.
There's got to be.
Yeah. Yeah. I got nothing. As always, I got nothing. So it shouldn't be any surprise to anybody. How you feeling today, man?
All in all, I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, I had the Fandome yesterday, which was nice, but have also just kind of, I don't know, getting ready for school to start, not feeling prepared at all.
It's a weird time.
This, you know, teaching in the time of COVID.
Right.
Really, just like anything in the time of COVID. It's a motherfucker.
It's a motherfucker. I got some SummerSlam on here in the background, so if I sound distracted, that's why.
I was wondering why you wanted the lounge seat tonight.
That's right. I want to make sure. Don't want to miss anything. It's the first ever pay-per-view in the Thunderdome.
In the Thunderdome.
That's right.
Well, who now that girl can no longer be in the WWE?
That's right.
Forever?
Forever. Usually what that shit is, that's why they have Raw and SmackDown. So she's probably just got fired from one and she'll move to the other one. That's how that works.
Oh.
Or so she'll come back as another persona.
So that's how they can rebrand.
Of course.
You know.
If it's getting a little stale, you need some time off. Maybe maybe she has a nagging injury. She needs a surgery on something.
She'll go get saved.
Yep.
Come back after finding Jesus.
Come back with blonde hair, whole new person.
Yeah.
Yep.
Be the righteous rocker.
That's right. I like that. Oh, I'm writing that down.
I just manifested that into existence, then we really have too much power.
It's funny you bring that up. I'm pretty sure we did that again.
Oh, enlighten me.
Have you seen the new Ninja Turtle Funkos that are coming out soon?
What?
Yes. I shit you not.
I am so pumped.
I saw
are you serious?
This. I was going to send it to you, but I decided to save it.
How did I miss those?
I saw it last week.
Were they announced on the Funko? Did Funko announce them?
I'm pretty sure Funko announced it, yeah. Yeah.
Because I have not seen that on their Instagram rollouts, at least.
You have all four Turtles and then Casey Jones.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I am stoked on that.
Way to go. We did it again.
People's champion. You're welcome.
That's right.
Turtles fans.
That's what I'm telling you. What else do you guys need? You need more than Funko Turtles. Let us know what you need.
Right.
And we'll make this shit happen. It's just what we do. Sitting here with my Woodford Reserved, double oaked.
Ooh, that's right.
It's very, it's quite smooth. Yeah. To 65.
To 65.
We can retire. It's not bad, right?
Oh, man. When you said 65, It reminded me of a real missed opportunity last week.
I want to hear.
When I'm 64 by the Beatles.
Of course.
Why was I not playing that?
That's
Will You Still Need Me? Will You Still Leave Me?
We cannot afford
when
that.
When I'm 64.
See, what's going to happen now is one day we'll get popular, and they'll go back and listen to this, and we'll owe fucking Paul McCartney. Or actually, I think it's Michael Jackson's estate. He bought all the Beatles rights at one point.
If anyone from those estates hears our show, it was worth it. And really, if anyone hears it, they'll say, oh my goodness, voice of an angel, that John Bruns. Just nailed Paul McCartney.
That's exactly what it was.
Instead of suing them or sending cease and desist, we should really just give them all the money.
Tour. Should tour with that.
Yeah.
Give him some goofy guy with floppy hair, play drums, and let him go.
It'd be incredible.
That's right.
I could kill it.
What?
I'm a bass player, you know. I just need to learn to play with it, like, up at my nipples, like Paul McCartney.
He dropped down eventually.
Oh, man, he played that bass so high, though.
He did.
It was painful to watch. Like, I was like, that dude must have had, like, cramped shoulders at the end of the night. He was pulling this move.
Didn't the bass player in the Tom Hanks movie? That thing about you. Did he have it up here, too?
Yeah.
Yeah. TB player?
Yeah.
Yeah. TB player.
TB player.
I love it. What do you feel like getting into first?
Well,
there's a little bit of Batman news.
The Fandome.
Yeah.
The Fandome is real. It's everything.
It is.
There's nothing else to talk about.
So where do you want? What was your favorite part of the Fandome?
So, quick plug, alteredstatecomics.com. If you want to go check the blog, I have written about my takeaways from the Fandome. The thing that was, I'm trying to think about what I'm most excited about, or like, there's so much.
I know, yeah.
But I think what impressed me most was just the fucking balls to open with Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that that's not even your that you're like, yeah, you've seen some Wonder Woman bits here. Just wet your whistle. See the full fucking Golden Eagle armor.
Right.
See Cheetah.
Yep.
And like, not look laughable.
Right.
That was crazy to me. Right. Like when we saw Kristen Wiig's,
that was gonna be
Cheetah,
my big.
I was like,
yeah,
holy shit! Like
looks
that
legit.
Fucking works.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't. Seeing her Cheetah is kind of like how I felt during like season two of The Flash when I saw King Shark.
Okay, sure.
And I was like, really?
Yeah.
You're going to do King Shark? And I saw him, I was like,
pretty cool.
Huh,
yeah.
They
yeah.
actually fucking did. And then it made me think, why is there not a goddamn Street Sharks TV show? Because that cartoon was the shit when
yeah.
I was a kid.
Yeah, man. I need to verify this, but I'm pretty sure this is what I read. I only saw it in one location, and I just wrote it down real quick. But I'd heard it previously, so I'm pretty sure it's legit.
Okay.
Do you know who's playing King Shark in the...
Steve Agee.
Yes.
Yeah.
How badass
That's
is
awesome.
That? Yeah, right?
Well, that leads into what...
there were so many great people in that.
So maybe we'll...
I don't even know where... I'm already off topic, but yes.
No, well, no, you're not... that because that's coming.
Yes. Yeah.
I want to give Wonder Woman her due.
Absolutely, yes.
The thing that I'm interested in... And really, this is a disclaimer for all trailers, with the exception of Matt Reeves' The Batman, which is a whole other category, which I'll get into. But, like, we've seen DCEU just make bangers after bangers for trailers.
Sure.
Every one of their movies looks
awesome.
Fucking dope.
Yeah.
And then you see it.
They can make a trailer.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think about that when I was like watching the Wonder Woman trailer was the first. I was like, when you see her with the fucking lasso of truth Spider-Manning through the lightning.
Yep.
I was like, yeah, that works in a trailer. But does that really work? And then I see like the Golden Eagle armor.
Right.
No, that just fucking straight works. That's nails. That
looks sweet, man.
I'm stoked on that. But like... And then Wonder Woman, I feel like, is the only DCEU movie that, like, really worked anyway. Like, the first Wonder Woman.
Fair, yeah.
Like, that's unquestionably the best of them.
Yes.
And I still don't think it's, like, a perfect movie. But, like, I still have my gripes with it. If I were to put it against Marvel movies, it would probably sit somewhere in the middle. Maybe the upper half of the middle.
Fair enough, yeah. Yeah.
And it would be top 10 Marvel movies, but it probably wouldn't be top 5.
No, definitely not.
So they still have a little work to do, mm-hmm. but it's miles better than Aquaman or Batman v Superman or Justice League
right.
or Man of Steel.
Right. Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad. That to me is like the most egregious offense as far as like that trailer looked so fucking sick.
Yes.
And that movie was so bad.
Right.
And then we also forget about the Birds of Prey movie,
you know,
which was actually pretty fucking entertaining.
I didn't enjoy. I just watched it for the first time
really?
Like a week ago.
I thought it was fun.
It didn't do anything for me. I was an hour in, and I'm like, is it started yet? I don't know where we're going with this.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, this is just the story.
It's definitely hectic.
Yeah.
And
it seems like way too many studio notes.
Maybe,
it seems like one of
but
those
I think
types.
That was kind of the point, because Harley Quinn is such like a erratic character.
Yeah.
To have her be super erratic.
But the Birds of Prey only are in it for like
12
right. minutes.
That was my
That's
problem.
What, yeah.
Is that like, let's just call it Harley Quinn.
Right.
Like the Fantabulous Emancipation of Harley Quinn.
Right.
That should have been the title.
Right.
Why was Birds of Prey even in the title?
Agreed.
You don't have Oracle.
Right.
Oracle is Birds of Prey. Like, let's right. just call that a Harley Quinn movie.
Right.
But with that being said, I think because my expectations were so low, I thought it was a fun fucking ride.
Yeah.
Like, I was definitely more entertained and engaged by that than I was Suicide Squad.
I'm not sure.
Oh, I was.
I'm not going to say it was better or worse. It was definitely a different kind of movie, but
I think it was just more fun.
Yeah.
Like, it was more of the parts of Suicide Squad that I liked.
It seemed
and
more...
less of the parts that I didn't.
It felt more like a Harley Quinn TV show, like I was watching 30-minute episodes.
Okay.
And then it just
it
didn't have a good conclusion for me. You know what I mean? Like it just
sure.
It felt very blah. I don't know. It just didn't feel. I don't know. I didn't enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that James Gunn really breathes life into this. Like I think his vision. I think he's the exact right storyteller for that.
Yeah.
And I think if this movie isn't fucking awesome, then we're going to have what is, I would argue, the biggest missed opportunity in comic book cinema history, and that you got to have Margot Robbie be fucking Harley Quinn for three movies and none of them were that good.
Right.
That's a fucking crime.
It is. I would agree.
Which is why I feel like this one's gotta be sick.
Yeah.
Because she is such a fucking good Harley Quinn.
Totally.
Like, she's a great fucking actress too. Like, she's totally great in everything, but she kills that character.
It wouldn't,
if they don't make any good movies in any of their swings,
yeah,
like that's a fucking travesty.
It wouldn't necessarily bum me out for future stuff, only because look at how many times Hugh Jackman was Wolverine, and only a handful are great movies.
Sure.
You know what I mean? But
the first two, like, were great.
Well, totally.
And
yeah.
So it gave him some leeway.
But that's all. You had nothing to compare the first two either.
Yeah, but X2 still fucking holds up.
It's a good movie. Yeah.
X1, I respect.
Yeah.
When I watch it, it's not as great as I remember it being.
No.
It. But X2 is still fucking nails. Yeah. That movie is great.
I can still remember seeing
the opening scene with fucking Nightcrawler alone in the White House.
Well, I was gonna say,
that movie is fucking so,
I remember
so
seeing X-Men in the theater, and when Logan is in the truck with, what the hell's her name?
Rogue.
And she asks what his name is, and he says Logan. The place, like,
went nuts.
Went insane.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Cheered and was clapping like I'd never heard a theater do before. I'm like, oh, my God, people are so, been waiting for this for so long.
Right.
That whatever they put out, they were going to enjoy.
For sure. And I do.
I'm not saying it's a good movie. I'm just saying, just back to the Hugh Jackman thing.
Hugh Jackman of it all.
The Hugh Jackman of it all. You know. The Margot Robbie is kind of the new Wolverine, I think. She'll bounce around for a lot of... I think she can maintain more than any other person in that franchise.
I think so, too, but I think it comes down to whether she wants to or not.
Well, absolutely.
Because she's, like, not only is she a fucking great actress,
right,
but she's in her moment, man.
Oh, absolutely,
like,
yeah.
Everything she's in is gangbusters.
Right.
If I'm her and this movie flops, I'm like... Unless she loves Harley Quinn and I don't know it, I'd be like, I ain't signing on for more of this shit. Like, I can go win Oscars, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't need to be this character if the movies
no,
are
shit. No, not at all. Not at all. Yeah. No, I mean, she's on the Quentin Tarantino movies and shit like that now.
She's fucking, she's incredible. She's Bombshell?
Right.
That movie was fucking awesome.
Right. And while I didn't care for...
She broke in with Wolf of Wall Street. She broke in with fucking Scorsese and Leo.
Right.
Like, she's on the up and up.
Yeah. She's going to be okay.
Right.
She's going to be okay.
She don't need Harley Quinn.
She doesn't. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
So I hope...
But then again...
I hope it does her...
Neither does most of the people they cast in that Suicide Squad movie.
Oh, I don't know. I think a lot of those...
Idris Elba doesn't need it.
That's for sure.
He's going to be the next James Bond.
Yeah. Idris Elba doesn't need... But like, Pete Davidson...
I don't think he needs it now. Will it make him even bigger? Sure. But does he need it? Nah. People who are Pete Davidson fans... They're pumped that he's in this, and it's cool that he's in this. I don't think it's going to create more Pete Davidson fans.
See, what I think it could do for Pete Davidson specifically,
can make him look like a good actor.
Exactly. And like Pete Davidson, I've enjoyed a lot of shit that he's been in that's not SNL,
mm-hmm,
but in everything that Pete Davidson's been in, he's just been playing Pete Davidson.
Right.
Pete Davidson has never acted.
Sure.
He's awesome at playing it, like King of Staten Island,
right,
Adolescence, all these movies that he's been in. He's just him.
Sure.
Which is great.
Right.
And I like him. I'm a fan of Pete. But like this, I feel like, is the first time that he's entering a foray that like someone could walk out of this. Someone could see this movie that works in a casting office and be like, oh, he's a viable option.
Yeah.
And right now, I don't think he's a viable option to anyone.
That's fair. Yeah.
And like,
yeah,
unless they need a Pete Davidson type.
Well, totally. Totally. Yeah, that's fair. I was going to make some asshole comment about Vin Diesel, but I forget what it was now.
Well, they're all so easy.
I can't remember what it was. Something about somebody who can't act. I'm like, you know who else made a career about not acting? Vin Diesel. I couldn't think of it, though. Anyways. But no, who else was in that movie? The only...
And Viola Davis.
Right.
The fact that she came back,
yeah,
is awesome.
Yeah.
Joel Kinnaman came back. Jai Courtney came back as Captain Boomerang, which is...
So
very
weird.
Funny
but,
to me.
But it seems they gave him...
I love it.
Yeah.
I think he was a fun part of the first movie.
I thought it was
movie.
A fun movie. Yeah, he could have done so much more.
Yeah.
They really didn't give him any of the... like I didn't follow Captain Boomerang in the comics, but sure. I'm aware of him, and I thought he was much more jokester like.
Yeah,
like they made him kind of smartass.
Yeah, he was pretty huckstery,
but he was more, for lack of a better, Deadpool-y.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying? I felt like when I saw him in the comics here, maybe not, and I felt like he had more of a superpower thing in the comics. Wasn't he
maybe
more of a speedster at one point? No,
okay, not that I recall. I but like he, again, I'm not like, or maybe I'm not maybe the, real deep on Suicide Squad.
Or maybe the boomerang was like a meta type weapon, or maybe it was something along those lines. I thought somewhere. Just the boomerang doesn't really give him any power.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I know he wasn't just a dude.
Yeah.
I feel like he had something going on. Anyway.
I don't know. I feel...
Maybe just being Australian makes you
I feel overmatched. Because but my Suicide Squad knowledge.
Oh, yes.
Does not run very deep.
And nor does mine. So, it doesn't. That's why I'm just like all over the place with that one.
But fucking David Dismalchin as Polka Dot Man, I think is going to be fun.
That's cool. Yeah.
John Cena.
Flula Borg.
Yeah.
He makes me laugh so much. I don't even know what character he's playing, but god damn it, he makes me laugh.
Yeah, it's Javelin.
And I feel like two or three of those characters are going to die right away. Like,
I think more than that. I think
what's
their
name?
Yeah, they're gonna not.
Just start blowing them up right away.
For sure.
Like, it wouldn't surprise me if in the first scene, three guys die.
Yeah.
That kind of shit.
I think that's the logical.
You may see them again, you know.
I think conservatively, four of them survive.
Well, it's a Suicide Squad. They're supposed to die. I mean, that's
exactly
kind of the thing. So,
right.
Yeah. No, I'm, or even if they all die and the only person left is Harley Quinn to do another movie. That's really all you need.
They ain't killing Idris Elba.
No, they're probably not.
Idris Elba is going to be the Will Smith of this.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, we are 100% he's playing Deadshot, right?
Yeah. No. Bloodsport.
Oh, he's playing Bloodsport. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what
Deadshot
okay.
is not. He's not replacing Will Smith. Okay. He's not replacing, right. in air quotes, right. he's not replacing Will Smith, but he's replacing Will Smith.
He's replacing him as the lead.
Right.
Male lead.
Right. With very similar powers.
Right. And a mask.
Right.
Yeah. Like, and shoots guns.
Yeah. He's replacing Will Smith.
Yeah.
And certainly the story will revolve around Harley Quinn and him. I'd be willing to bet.
That
Although,
wouldn't it
be bonkers if Idris Elba, like, died in the first scene? Just really made me feel
I think
looked
go,
dumb.
Right, go for it. What was the guy who plays Flag? Is it
Rick Flag?
Rick Flag or Captain?
Colonel? Rick Flag?
Is it Colonel? Anyways.
Joel Kinnaman. He's back.
Yeah. But the only thing I've seen from him is he's basically saying, don't get attached.
Yeah, so, don't get attached to anybody.
All right, cool. I'm in for that.
And I think that's the right move.
Which wouldn't surprise me if he dies pretty quick.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me either.
Yeah, no, so, or the main, what's her name?
Amanda Waller will survive.
Yeah, she always survives. She has, she's kind of.
Yeah, that's,
she,
they would.
Yeah, that's like killing
they'd
Alfred.
They'd recast her before they kill her.
That's like killing off Alfred. You got to have someone to.
Yeah, right. She's there.
But
I'm stoked on that. And then, I mean, goddamn Zack Snyder's Justice League.
Ugh, I don't even know what to say about it because it's, if you listen to this podcast, obviously, you either are mothers or you're into this stuff. You know what I mean? So,
are you kidding me? My mother would never listen to this.
Thank God. Because we drop so many horrible F-bombs.
My mother is so offended by the word fuck.
Yeah.
That, like, it's the only thing, like, it bums her out and it makes her mad. Like, if she heard me, I mean, she's heard me say fuck. I mean,
right,
I'm
right.
an adult.
Right.
But she's, like, real pissed off about it every time still.
Really?
I only say fuck around her if I'm, like, drunk.
Too. Oh, okay.
Like,
because
I have enough decency when I'm sober that I just don't, that I,
well, that's,
I can, I can
right.
turn it off.
Right.
But that's also, like, how she knows if I'm, like, getting a little loose.
Right.
And she hears she's like, God, put that drink down, John. Yeah, she hates it.
Ever since Joe was on the show and he got really upset with cum gutters, I've been trying to use that more in my life.
Trying to integrate that?
Yeah.
Because that's really what we need.
That's
more of that.
More cum gutters. More of that language. Back on DC fandom stuff, fucking Gotham Knights. Did you see that?
Yes.
That looks amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that not a show?
Right.
That looks amazing. I don't even want to play it. I just want to watch that over and over
right,
again.
Just watch the animatics in
it. Oh, because I know playing it's going to ruin it. That looked amazing.
You're not going to be as good at playing it as the characters deserve.
I just love the idea that someone gave someone a go-ahead to do a game, a show, a movie, or Batman's dead right at the beginning.
Right.
Just boom, he's dead.
I mean, like, what now?
Now, it would not surprise me if at the end you see some type of...
Oops. Well, never mind, because I just did delete a chunk of what we did. Just a small chunk, like four seconds.
Oh, that's fine. We're fine.
So, sorry for that weird, abrupt shift in the middle of our Gotham Knights talk. My computer was being dumb, and...
I can't wait to get a new producer.
Right. I just really fucked it up. But I only fucked up like 6 seconds worth of me just agreeing with Brandon.
6 seconds of gold.
I mean, that was the 6 seconds that was going to get us somewhere,
that's
man.
Right. That's right. It's all over. Wrap it up now.
But here we are. Just ruined.
It's okay. SummerSlam's still on.
Right. But you know what we hadn't really gotten into talking about yet that I'm super stoked. I know you, is the fucking Zack Snyder's Justice League, man.
It's just so cool. Like, there was so much cool shit in there.
That look. And I think the biggest thing out of that for me was like, it just showed how much of the original movie we just didn't get to see.
Right.
You know? Like...
Or how much of the original story.
Exactly. Like, yeah. There were huge moments. I was delighted to see Kiersey Clemons there. Like, her Iris West. I like her in a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
Everything that she's been in. She was in that movie, now I can't remember what it's called. Dope. She was in that movie.
Yes.
And she was awesome. She was in a movie with Nick Offerman that I loved called Hearts Beat Loud.
I don't think I saw that one.
It's so good. You would really like that one. It's a single father and his daughter. Nick Swardson plays her Nick Offerman.
Okay.
Plays her dad. And she's like getting ready to go off to college, and he owns a record store. And they like start playing music together. It's fucking delightful.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
Ted Danson's in it as a fucking bartender and pothead.
Ted Danson as a bartender. What else?
Right. It's really fucking good. So like, I was super stoked to see her parts put back in. Looks like Cyborg is getting his fair due finally.
Yeah.
Like, it just looked. Although the one thing about it that killed me though, and I love Leonard Cohen,
mm-hmm.
and particularly I think Hallelujah is a great song.
Yeah.
But like, how many times is Zack Snyder going to use that motherfucker?
Yeah.
Like looking at that, I was like, did you just cut and paste from The Watchmen?
At first, I thought I was watching like a fan trailer.
Right.
So I'm like, wait, this because it started it
just,
right away.
And
I'm
it
like,
just
wait.
Didn't quite add up with the tone
right.
of the footage.
Because usually when they use it, they change it up a little bit or they'll slow it down or, you know, do a different version. But
well, it just didn't.
I love Leonard Cohen.
For sure. I love that song and I love that trailer. But that one part was just like, that just felt a little kind of oddly incongruent to me.
That song has just been used way too much.
Yeah.
What's
probably because I love the OC and they played that song like seven fucking times. Yeah. Granted, it was always the Imogen Heap version.
Right.
But
and I don't want to lose topics, but what trailer just used the Nirvana song?
Fucking the Batman.
Yeah, that's what it was. Okay. Okay. We'll come
and
to
that. Shit fit.
And that works so well.
Yeah, it does.
Because when you started saying that, I'm like, oh, it was so cool. Oh, yeah, no, wait, wrong song. Yeah. You're right.
But I also like, we're going to get that movie as 4 1-hour episodes.
Yes.
That's fucking dope
love
too.
Yep.
Like, and they didn't bury the lead at all.
Nope.
That trailer opens with Darkseid.
Yep.
Like, holy shit, man.
Yep. I know that, but we also got confirmation.
The Batfleck's back.
Back. He'll be in the Flash movie.
Did you see, in order to agree to come back, he had to have script approval.
I heard that. Yeah. Yeah.
Good for him.
Good for fucking
him.
That's right.
Well, like the fact that you have, I love that DC is really fully embracing the multiverse.
Yes.
Like, you know what? We have the ability to have Matt Reeves' Batman.
Right.
And Michael Keaton's Batman.
Right.
And Ben Affleck's Batman. We can have Ezra Miller's Flash and fucking
they have much
Grant
more,
Gustin's
yes,
Flash.
They
like,
have, which are all supposed to be in the Flash movie.
Right. And I think they should. And once Ezra Miller showing up on the CW was the game changer.
Yes.
That was Warner Brothers finally being like, yes,
right.
We finally broke in. It's only taken 10 years.
Well, they have
but
so
we
much.
We finally did the smart fucking
they
thing.
They have so much more of a wealth of movie time, TV time, so much history that they can pull from that Marvel just can't do because
absolutely.
They have not been on.
They don't have the same depth.
Right.
It's funny because I saw also Kevin Feige is trying to really embrace that in the Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, he's trying to bring everyone.
Yeah.
And I was like, who would I want to see in that? And in my head, I was like, okay, you could do Tobey Maguire Spider-Man and Andrew movies, Garfield. You could maybe get Eric Bana and Ed Norton. Maybe you could fucking pull some of the, you know, maybe you could get a Halle Berry or a Hugh Jackman. Well, you can't get Hugh Jackman. Jackman would be the big get.
Yeah.
But like, do you have Chris Evans play the Human Torch? That would be fucking cool, actually.
See, that's really the only...
If you bring in a Chris Evans Human Torch, I would be stoked.
That's the only way that Marvel right now could go, was to do something along the Fantastic Four lines,
right?
Blade, something, you know, bring something like that in that's already have somewhat of a following.
But the earliest one is 2000.
Right.
You know, so like...
But I think...
And I think those would be fun, and I hope they pull it off. But like,
I think Sony's saving it all for Spider-Verse. Why? You know what I mean? Because everything that we pretty much want to see would be associated with the Spider-Man movies.
Unless, I think, you could do anything with any of the X-Men or Fantastic Four people.
Yeah.
And you could bring in Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield. You just couldn't have them, quote unquote, playing Peter Parker, Spider-Man.
But
you could bring him in and fans would know.
Right. Right.
You know.
Just how they did with the original Robin.
Exactly.
He really wasn't Robin. He was just walking down the street dressed in the colors and saying Gadzooks, Batman, or what the fuck he said.
And any of those characters would come in a cameo way anyway.
Right.
That like, the only two that I think would be hard would be those ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like, even that you could figure out. But at the same time, those are all post-2000. Those are all only in the last 20 years.
Right.
Like, the fact that in The Flash, they could bring in fucking Linda Carter, man.
Sure.
Right. And I guess Marvel could bring in Lou Ferrigno.
You don't want to see that ever so coveted Marissa Tomei, Sally Field interaction. I've been craving that for years.
Sure. I'm sure you have, Brandon. But like,
just a big smoky.
Yeah, I think Lou Ferrigno would be the one you could bring back.
Sure.
But like, decent, you could get Linda Carter, you can get fucking Keaton, you can get Kilmer. Could you get Clooney?
They're getting Kilmer.
Dude, if they could get like a Clooney cameo would be,
even if you could just get
incredible,
just do it like him on a newspaper type thing, just acknowledging it.
Right.
I mean once everybody else signs on, how could Clooney not?
Because he's seen how bad they've all been, and he's just sitting on the beach drinking his tequila, counting all his millions, enjoying his life as like a fucking international hero.
I think you're wrong. He's drinking Nespresso. With Danny DeVito.
Right. You could get Danny DeVito.
That's right.
I mean, there's a lot of shit that, like, there's so much more shit you could. Could you get Gene Hackman out of retirement?
I was going to say Jim Carrey? Yeah.
For sure you could.
Yeah.
Like,
ooh, Hackman. I never thought about that.
Yeah, bring back a Hackman Lex Luthor.
Mm.
That would be fucking cool, man.
I
think they could do it. Bring in Brandon Routh, man. You
have to.
Like,
I want to see Dean Cain.
Bring in Dean Cain.
I never even watched, really, Dean Cain as Superman. I just love the name Dean Cain. I enjoy saying Dean Cain.
Sure.
It's a great fill-in for... I used to say Bob Saget when I couldn't think of the person. Just Dean Cain. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, but all that shit has been just amazing. I mean, I've been watching... I watched that trailer 3 or 4 times. Just the first time. I'm like, that's fucking amazing. That's so great.
Yeah.
Once again, I'm so glad I live in a world where this is a thing.
Right.
And a mainstream thing.
That's why... And I'm just not going to get HBO Max because I'm just not that guy. But you know, like, we're going to have to... I'm going to come here and watch it with you.
Yeah.
You don't get an option in this, Brandon. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
This is a non-negotiable.
I'll only charge you $12.99 for the 1 month.
I'll respect it. I would pay that.
It's worth it, right?
To me, like, I would for sure pay your 1 month of HBO for me to come over those 4 times.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, and you might be saying... Well, John, why don't you just pay for it for a month and cancel it? Because that's how they get you. And then I have to go, and then I see other things on there, and then all of a sudden I'm like, let me rewatch Watchmen. This movie's on there. Before you know it, I've spent $65 before I'm canceling it, and I'm not about that shit.
Doom Patrol's on there.
Right.
Now all the DC stuff's on there, so I started watching all the Harley Quinn.
Fucking get me, man. Yeah. And I'm not trying to get got. So I would walk over here with a crisp $20 bill and set it on your table just for the me not having to get it and cancel it.
You're just avoiding the inevitable.
No, it will not happen, Brandon.
Just give in to your masters.
It will. The only situation it happens is, you know, we open a comic book store and I can do it and call it a tax write-off.
That's fair.
They can have my $15.99, right. But until then, can eat my shit.
That's right.
I'm not doing it.
That's right.
But I'm stoked to see that, man. It's going to be cool.
I can't wait. I feel like it's like almost a year away, I feel like. But it feels like it should be here.
I don't know, man. I
months.
Think it's closer. Isn't it like the first half of 2021?
It might be.
If they're smart, it's got to be.
If we're getting trailers, you should be fairly close.
Well, we got a trailer for the Batman, and they've only done like 20% of the press.
That was more of a teaser, though, I think.
It was 2 minutes.
It was. That's fair.
It was two clean minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that said, like, they all the footage was done.
Right.
So they just needed post-production.
Right.
And they announced it, two months ago?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it can't take longer than 6 months to stitch that together.
You wouldn't think.
Because they're not making anything new. They're rearranging things and they're finishing effects. And, like, that's such a huge thing. And when nobody's creating anything, if I'm, like, I am working my ass off to get that out in fucking February.
You would think, yeah.
Because, like, you're still not going to be against shit in February.
Right.
The only thing that Marvel has in the can is Black Widow. So until they can continue production, you're not even going to see the Marvel shows to compete against.
Right.
Mandalorian will have in October, so that craze will have passed.
Yep.
But, like, your competition has nothing.
It's true.
Strike now.
Right.
You know, if I'm them, that, like, I'm doing everything in my fucking power to have that out first quarter of 21.
You would think so. I hope so. I originally thought that was going to be part of the HBO Max launch.
Yeah.
I thought that was, like, their big thing.
It would have made sense.
But no such luck.
Right.
They got me anyway. I mean, I'm not going to.
Sure.
I mean,
well, you're a cable lifer, man.
I'll say I was grandfathered in because I had the cable and the HBO, so I got the, or I had DirecTV or whatever the fuck it is. Changes names every couple years.
Sure. Why not?
It's auto payment. I don't even know where the money goes anymore. Someone takes my $100 and whatever dollars a month. But that's, yeah, I probably wouldn't have gone out. Well, I might have because I had Hulu. I don't even know, but I enjoy it. I really enjoy HBO Max for the most part. When I jump on the treadmill, Doom Patrol, I dug it.
Yeah.
I know I kind of said it. I love the second season, but I dig it. It was fun.
My thing is, I think where it's separated for me is I've never in my life had HBO.
Yeah.
Not so when I was younger, less. So, like, I've never missed it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I bought into, I didn't even get into Game of Thrones until we were 4 seasons in. Like, it was when I got my cousin Ryan bought the first 4 seasons on DVD for Libby and I as a wedding gift.
Okay.
So, like, I binged them all then when I got the first 4 seasons. And then after that, I would get HBO for a month and a half at a time every 18 months.
Right.
But really, I've never had it. And that's just such a high, like, if it were under $10, I'd do it.
Sure.
But, like, I don't pay more than $10 for any streaming service, and I like a lot of them more than I would like HBO. Like, Disney Plus, I could watch every fucking day.
Sure.
I love everything on that fucking service.
Right.
Hulu services all of my regular television needs. Like, I just don't. So, to me, it's a combination of never having had it truly to miss it.
Right.
And it's just too high for me.
I get that, yeah.
And I would be doing it for the one-offs. I'd be doing it so I could watch Doom Patrol.
Right.
I'd be doing it so I could, you know, like, if I had it, I'd watch that Harley Quinn cartoon, but I'm not, like, no. I don't feel like I'm missing out experiencing that.
Right.
And I don't think they have any of the, they don't really have anything that I feel like I can't do without, you know? Like, there's nothing on there that I want to binge over and over and over.
But I think part of that is you've never had HBO.
So sure.
You don't know the library. You know what I mean? Like, I've had HBO for fucking since Fraggle Rock. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Since I was a kid. I've just always had it. You know, it's just, you get cable, it's just HBO. It's just, here you go. It's what you do. So, you know, Fraggle Rock type. Mr. Show. I mean, this, you know, Sopranos, all that kind of stuff.
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I just was very, even like Mr. Show and stuff, early HBO. I loved that shit. All the HBO stand-up specials, I loved that shit. That's what, all the George Carlin specials.
Sure.
That was my childhood, man. I think that's all. Right. When I binge on that, it's very similar to when I listen to you talk about, like, the Disney stuff. Because I just didn't.
Perfect.
I mean, I enjoyed Disney stuff, but I was never a Disney kid.
You
know, I had, I know Mickey Mouse. I know the shit, but I'm not a Disney guy.
That's a great, that's a great analogy there. Yep. Because that's, $15.99 a month is worth it to me for something that means something to me. Right. But HBO just never has.
Right.
So it's just.
Yeah, Disney Plus, I basically got for Mandalorian, Star Wars, and Marvel.
Uh-huh.
And then I give, and then I told my sister with her four little girls.
Here's my.
I gave them the password, so they watch it all the time. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So it was really more for them, and then I get Mandalorian.
Right.
I'm good with that.
And it's so cheap that it's also like.
Totally.
You know.
Well.
And when you buy the package, it's like, what, like $60
exactly.
a year?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
That's 3.5 months of HBO.
Right. 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 So. I don't know how we started with this, but that's where we are.
Yeah. But that brings us to the creme de la creme. The goddamn Batman. The goddamn Batman.
It was pretty fucking cool. I won't lie.
Oh, my God.
I didn't know what I wanted from it. I didn't know what to expect. I dig emo Batman.
It delivers for me in ways that I had no idea I wanted it to.
Yep.
Yeah, like, just the opening with that fucking duct tape sound.
Yeah.
Ooh, that was just mean, man. And then you see the Riddler, but his face is just wrapped up in plastic. Like, it just, I mean.
What's his name? Is Jim Gordon? Looks fucking cool.
Fuck yes.
Looks really good. What the hell is his name? God damn it.
Jeffrey Wright.
Thank you.
Yeah. He looks,
thinking Bernard.
He is Jim Gordon.
Totally. He has
more so than anyone I feel like I've ever seen.
He has an amazing detective look to him. Like,
he
looks the part.
Well, I think Jim Gordon has had a lot of good representation.
Yeah.
Like, Gary Oldman was a great Jim Gordon.
Yes.
Fucking J.K. Simmons was a really good Jim Gordon.
Yep.
Goddamn Ben McKenzie, Ryan Atwood from the OC himself, was a great young Jim Gordon.
Right.
I thought he was awesome.
Yep.
But, like,
Detective Gordon.
Fucking.
He nails it. Yeah, it looks great,
Jeffrey
man.
Wright is goddamn Commissioner Gordon.
I dug
like,
it,
as soon as he walked on screen, I was like, why is it 2020 and we're just now seeing this?
Right.
Why hasn't he been Jim Gordon forever?
No shit. He's been a robot.
Right. Like, he was just so pitch perfect.
It looked great. Yeah, it looked great in it. I mean, even in the two little scenes we saw, he just looked.
Right. He looked the part. The part.
Yeah.
And then, like, the prosthesis on Colin Farrell was like, oh, you are Oswald. Like, that was the one bit of casting news that was like, huh.
Yeah.
We're going Colin Farrell as Oswald Cobblepot, huh?
Right.
And then as soon as he hit the screen, it was like fucking nails.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like Paul Dano is the perfect blend of just like unassuming, but also men. Like, think of him in There Will Be Blood.
Right.
It's that scene, that movie alone, and his catalog. He's done a lot of things great that I very much enjoyed. Going all the way back to The Girl Next Door. You know, like, I like Paul Dano.
Yeah.
But goddamn. That is it. And, like, I feel like we are just seeing, this is the best unrefined Batman. And I didn't know that I didn't know that I wanted that. I didn't not want it, but I also didn't know if I did.
Right, I know what you mean.
And then as soon as I saw this footage, I was like, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I need Batman year two.
Right, right.
Like, every Batman we've seen is so refined.
Yeah.
Like, the Nolanverse, which I love. Even that, like, Batman was pretty fucking refined when he showed up.
Right.
You know, like, that, Batman Begins is the least refined. And even that, like, that's as unrefined as waiting in line for the Batman at Six Flags. Like, it didn't look raw.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that I necessarily wanted that or needed that until, like, that one moment of seeing Robert Pattinson just beat the bricks out of that fucking henchman and then just stop and just channel his inner Kevin Conroy. I am vengeance.
That's badass.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That got me in places
nails.
That I didn't know I wanted to get God in, man.
Yeah. Me too. It was badass. I mean, we just talked about how great they do trailers, so it makes me somewhat nervous not discussing it, but it gives me some.
But it's not touched by the other parts of the DCEU that have failed.
That's true.
Like, to me, that's why it's different.
Yeah.
Because I feel like Matt Reeves is the right director, and they have zero intention of crossing it over. And, like, think the Joker. They had no intention of crossing that over, so they kept their fucking hands off it.
Right.
You know, like, right. They weren't trying to force shit into it. And that's the real problem with all the DCEU stuff, is too many studio hands trying to force connections. This is one they acknowledge, like, Reeves, you got this. This is your baby.
Right.
And the fact that it gets to be a singular vision, and the fact that fucking Paul Dano's awesome, and Zoe Kravitz is awesome, and Colin Farrell's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm a believer in our Pats. All of a sudden, I'm like, no, this is going to be fucking great.
Can be badass. Yeah. Yeah.
I think it has the potential.
It has great potential at this
point. I think it has the potential to be, when all is said and done, better than the Nolan trilogy. I'm going that far.
Wow, that's hard. That's some tough words up front.
Having never seen it, but it's 2 minutes of footage.
Seeing 2 minutes of footage, yeah.
I think the trilogy has the possibility of being better than that trilogy.
Okay, I mean, that's a fair statement.
And I don't say that to mean any disrespect to the Nolan trilogy, because I love all three of those flicks. Mm-hmm. I think they're all incredible. But I think we are just getting a different version of Batman. And I just feel like from the little bits that I've seen, I think Robert Pattinson has it in him to be a better Batman than Christian Bale. And I think that's the difference. I think that's what gives it the edge over the Nolan stuff, because as much as I love those movies, I never quite bought Christian Bale as Batman.
Oh, I did.
I bought him as Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
Big time. But I never quite, like, the best part of all of those movies is the villains.
I don't know about that. I enjoyed me some Bale.
I didn't hate him.
Yeah.
This conversation makes it sound like I'm talking shit.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm not.
You are.
I genuinely love it. But I do think, and I like Christian Bale also. Like, I'm not saying this to be like, he was a shit Batman and he ruined those. No, he was a good Batman. But he was always more Bruce Wayne than Batman to me.
Okay, I can understand that.
And I think Robert Pattinson looks like he's more Batman than Bruce Wayne. And I think that's more interesting. Like, because I would argue for sure, at least in my head, I could argue that Liam Neeson was his Ra's al Ghul was the best part of Batman Begins. And Michael Caine's Alfred. Michael Caine's Alfred was also awesome.
I enjoy the Scarecrow.
Cillian Murphy as Scarecrow was awesome.
Yep.
I think all three of those performances are better than Bale's. And that's not to say Bale's was bad, but those three were all awesome.
Yeah.
And Heath Ledger's Joker, now, that movie was awesome, but even if that movie sucked, it still would have been awesome, because he was above and beyond great as the Joker.
It's the same as it's The Crow. The Crow was not a great movie, but everybody loves that character, because that guy was badass.
Right. And then in Rises, Tom Hardy was better than Christian Bale. Like, that Bane was so to me,
that's one of those character choices too, that it's like, when you do it, you got to go all in. You're like, is this gonna work? You know what I mean? And it worked.
Right. It's a big roll of the dice.
Right.
But it was a positive one.
It was.
I think when I look at this, it feels to me in that first footage like, not only do I think Pattinson has a little more depth as Batman, but I also think just from a storytelling place, all of these characters look really unrefined, which then gives you some really interesting room to grow with over a trilogy.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, you're getting all of these characters when they're not quite themselves yet. They're not quite the version of them that they will be. So it tells me that I don't think he's going to kill any of them. I don't think any of them are going to die. And I think we're going to see.
I think he's going to kill some people.
I don't think he's not going to kill people.
Okay.
I think those main villains aren't going to
die.
Like, so I think there's room for Paul Dano to be in the trilogy.
Okay.
I think there's room for Colin Farrell to be in the, like, I don't know that we're, I think I was a little worried that it was like, ooh, maybe they're overstuffing villains. But then I'm like, oh, maybe they're not. Maybe they're just filling out Gotham City, and organically over a trilogy, they're going to grow and fade into who they are. And that is a little bit more compelling to me.
Have they said, they haven't said either way if they're doing more of these though, right?
They have.
Have they have for sure?
Is it? They haven't greenlit any of them, but right. Like they've talked about, I have heard the talk from, or like read the talk from Warner executives that they want to bring Joker into the second one.
Okay.
So
okay.
Like there are at least loose plans.
Okay. Okay.
Now, I think if it ends up being fucking horrible, they won't.
Well, of course. Sure.
But that would surprise me.
Right. Slightly off topic, but I don't want to forget it. It's still about Batman. I don't know. You know, they've always talked about doing more, rogue galleries type movies.
Uh-huh.
Villains and things like that. Have you heard who they want to do? He's not going to be the main character in the movie, but they're going to have him play the Penguin in a different movie. Mr. Adam Sandler.
What?
That's what I said, too.
In which movie?
They're looking to do a new movie. They haven't said who it's going to be about, but it's going to be about the bad guys.
So, like, how Joker worked? You think they're going to try to do, like, weird origin stories?
I mean, it won't necessarily be just about the Penguin. Like, he'll just be a character in that movie.
Huh.
But it somehow, maybe it's an Arkham-type movie or something along those lines. But they want, after Uncut Gems.
Sure. I could see it.
They're back on the, this guy's a fucking actor.
I could see that.
I could see something along those lines.
I could see him pull that off for sure.
Yeah. It popped in my head, and I always got to mention any Sandler news I hear.
Sure.
It worked along the same line, so that's all I had. That's it.
That'd be cool, man.
I don't know what it would be, because I don't know what they're looking for as far as the Penguin.
Sure. That could be cool.
Totally. Right.
I can visualize him as the Penguin in a way that is cool.
Right. Right. And I can also visualize him in a bathtub yelling at a big penguin. Right. So
that's like I say, like, oh, I can visualize him as a good penguin, but I also like couldn't visualize Colin Farrell as one, and he looks like it.
Right.
And I couldn't visualize Heath Ledger as the Joker, and then he was the definitive Joker.
Right.
So what I'm getting at here is my opinion don't mean shit.
Well, anytime I hear something along those lines, I always go right back to Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
Nobody thought he would do shit. And originally they wanted Bill Murray.
That is fucking crazy.
Which is crazy. But at the same time, I could see it working. Because
coming off Scrooged, could he be fucking Bruce Wayne? I could see that.
I could see it.
But as Batman,
now,
hell no.
Now, the one thing I can't see is, I'm sure, I don't know, but wouldn't you love to live in another world where Bill Murray was the Batman and he has that one scene where it's like, come on, let's get nuts. Like, how would Bill Murray do that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just picture it like
a
Caddyshack scene. Like,
it's funny. Because,
like, hey, Llama, how about a little something for the effort, you know?
Well, it's funny because, like, in retrospect, I'm like, God, I'm so glad that didn't happen. But also, if I'm putting myself in that time, he definitely, based on Scrooge, could have pulled off Bruce Wayne.
Sure.
He had been a legitimate blockbuster action hero in Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
So, like, those two films alone.
I mean, he was a draw. He was drawing money.
Right.
Money, big money draw.
Well, and that was, like, Ghostbusters was a big action.
Right.
You know, it was a comedy, but it was a, like, he did enough in that. He had, to that point, he'd proven more that he could be Batman than Michael Keaton had.
To an extent, but people forget, right before Batman, he did a movie called Clean and Sober, which is, I'm not going to say it's a great movie. It's very dark, very gritty. But you watch that, you're like, oh, I could see where someone who saw this, if they were, when you look at Tim Burton's Batman, the dark, it's very similar in tone. Like, oh,
huh.
I think Tim Burton saw him in this, and he's like, I want that guy as Batman. Because it's just,
it works.
It works. It works.
And I mean, again, we have the luxury of hindsight.
30 years of hindsight, yeah. Oh my God, is it 30 years?
Right.
At least. Probably more. Yeah, let's not
30,
talk about
32
it.
Years.
Let's not talk about it.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about it.
Because that came out mere months after I was born.
Wow. Wow.
Now, that's real. Like, I putting that in perspective, like, yeah, I was like 6 months old when that movie came out.
That's insane.
Fuck.
Moving on.
Yeah.
Do we need a quick break?
Yeah, let's take a little
quick break.
And we're back.
We are back.
Guess who's back?
So, quick little side note.
Mm-hmm.
Before we started, we had a little audio technical difficulty setting up the microphones. We made a quick run to Home Depot for some tools.
Uh-huh.
Damn, what was the song playing? It was, I feel like it was Backstreet Boys. And you were just dancing down the aisle. I don't even think you realized you were snapping your fingers to whatever song was playing in Home Depot. I totally wanted to call you out, but you were just...
Dude, honestly...
I can't remember
what it
was. Don't
recall that, but I believe
it was a total boy band song.
That's a very me move.
I'm pretty sure it was Backstreet's Back, but I'm not 100%.
I am that dude that is consistently dancing in the aisles. Like, if you run into me in a store... you know what, Brandon?
No,
I'm just happy to be alive.
I'm not judging. I thought it was very nice.
At the end of the day, as much of a emo sad sack piece of shit as I am awfully happy to be alive. And there's a lot of shit that I could bitch about, but man, I got a pretty fucking sweet life, dude. I am awfully fortunate to have the life I have, so I like dancing in the streets.
There are multiple Batman productions
exactly
coming out in the next couple years. I mean, what else do you need in life?
Exactly. The sheer fact that we are doing this,
right,
that we have the capability,
right,
to spend a couple $100s and have like a straight up setup to actually do like what feels like a real radio show. I don't care if six people listen.
None of that.
This is awesome.
We've found an amazing, I don't want to say excuse, but an excuse to sit in someone's basement, drink some whiskey, and talk about Batman.
It's the best. It is among the highlights of my week.
Right? Right?
It's like, ooh, I just get to unplug and like...
It's like on Friday, I'm like, what whiskey will I drink and what will I talk about on Sunday?
Right.
Batman, Star Wars, ooh, wrestling? I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh.
And like, so that means I have an awful lot of reasons to dance in the aisles.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point. And I was not making fun. I was not judging. I was simply pointing out...
I seriously, that was like super subconsciously, because I have no...
You were loving your trip to the Home Depot.
I have no recollection of that.
The more I think about it, I'm pretty sure now it wasn't a Backstreet. It was like one of the random 90s one-hit wonder boy bands, like a 98 Degrees. But
an LFO?
It was LFO. It was Summer Girls.
Was it?
It was Summer Girls.
Nice. Well, then I'm a little insulted you
weren't
dancing.
I take back my
then,
criticism.
Because
yes.
How does anyone not dance to the loud, funky ones? Yeah, I know what LFO means.
I like girls that wear Abercrombie and Fitch.
You know what? That's the only part of those girls that I don't like. I don't. When I was younger, I didn't fuck with those Abercrombie. Never mind. They didn't fuck with me.
This is what fucks me up.
I was
about,
a poor
yeah,
kid.
This is going to be my get off the lawn moment of the week. Back in my day, Abercrombie was just fucking baggy sweaters and like, you know, big fucking pants.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like fucking thongs and tight shirts. What
is it?
What happened? Where was I?
Well, I mean, the 90s were a pretty baggy in general
it
era,
was,
man.
But 90s was like...
For guys and gals.
90s was like grunge if you had cash.
Yeah.
A lot of flannel, a lot of layers.
Yeah.
Maybe that was just the fashion, but...
Pants were really big.
But I remember... You know,
a lot of girls rocked the spaghetti strap in the
90s. Yeah, but there was...
That's a very 90s look to me.
Abercrombie was... Like, if I was with a girl and she's like, let's go to Abercrombie, like, ugh, sweaters? You know what I mean? Like, Victoria's Secret's down the hall.
Yeah, that was never... When I was going to the mall, Abercrombie was, like, never gonna be an option.
Yeah.
Abercrombie was in that price bracket that was just... I was never holding my breath long enough to swim in those waters, and the girls that weren't hanging out with me.
Should have bought them a sweater.
That's for goddamn certain.
Should have bought them a sweater.
They didn't. Girls who wear Abercrombie and Fitch didn't want shit to me.
That's the only line
I
can remember.
Chinese food doesn't make me sick either.
That's
I love
is.
Chinese
That's
food.
Funny shit.
So as delightful as that song is, it's full of shit.
That's the only song I know, but it's the only song they had, right?
I'd have to think so.
Okay.
But it is a fucking jam.
Hey.
That's a treat.
I like girls that
wear Abercrombie and Fitch.
But something would come around
if I had one wish.
Yeah. We're not going to sing that either. We went right from you singing the Beatles to now you're singing LFO.
I'm a man of
wow.
I'm
If
I'm a man of many tastes.
If nothing
Brandon.
Else, this podcast is for everybody.
I would like to think
I mean,
so. I would like to think
Paul
I'm
Paul McCartney
I'm,
fans.
I'm a boy for everyone.
LFO fans.
You know?
You know, because...
I'd like to think anyone can find their version of John that they like and come back for that version.
It's funny. Somewhere, ideally. Somewhere in that Venn diagram of the LFO Paul McCartney fans, there's John. And he's that guy right there.
I'm the center of
it. That's right. That's right. I don't have any more fandom stuff. Do you have any more fandom stuff you want to get to?
One thing that I am that I was really stoked about, more in principle, I guess, than in application.
Okay.
But I was really excited to see that they announced they're bringing Milestone back, the Milestone imprint.
I didn't see this.
So, yeah, Jim Lee did a kind of surprise panel, and Phil Lamar was on it. Mark Bernardin moderated it. And, you know, we're only a week or two removed from DC really giving the axe to a lot of their creative team.
Yeah.
So to see that they're bringing back Milestone imprint for publication, for those of you not familiar, Milestone was the imprint that came up in the 90s that was all, it was a basically an entire comic book universe that was an imprint of DC that was all black characters with all black creators. Static Shock was the big, he was the big character to come out of that. So obviously I think now's a great time to bring that back because I think those are stories. There are going to be a lot of voices that are going to get jobs that don't typically get jobs.
Right.
So I think that's great. But also I just think it's great to see DC really making a conscious choice to grow something in publication opposed to kill it.
Sure.
Like I still read comics, not as much as I used to, but I read mostly trade papers now, but I like seeing companies take risks on creators. And I think that's the way that they're going to get new voices in.
Well, it's especially exciting to see a Marvel or a DC.
Right.
With a new creator's voice. Usually that's just an Image or a Dynamite or somewhere along those lines. Marvel or DC rarely gives an unknown.
Mm-hmm. And
something along, especially after cutting so many jobs.
Right.
And then, you know, saying so.
And I think the unknown creator, or the creator with less opportunities is the one that you want. Like, I think if you can get, they didn't announce the creative teams, or if they did, I didn't quite see it. But let's say they're getting creators that don't typically get a stab at stuff like this. And, you know, maybe they nail Static Shock. Well, then all of a sudden you could say, man, maybe we should give this guy a run on The Flash.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden you have these characters that are kind of stagnant because they've had their stories being told by the same fucking people.
Right.
All of a sudden refresh those big characters again.
Right.
So that's exciting to me. And the other announcement out of that is they also announced they are actively developing a live action Static Shock movie.
Oh, nice.
Which I am stoked on.
That'd
because
be very
while
cool.
I never read any of the Milestone comics, I watched the shit out of the Static Shock cartoon. Like,
sure.
That was my age group, man.
Right?
Those 90s WB cartoons, that's like core comics for me, like Batman the Animated Series,
right.
Static Shock, fucking Animaniacs, Pinky and the Brain, like all that shit was when I was 7 to 11 years old.
Right.
I was right there for all of it and loved it all. So having watched 4 seasons of Static Shock, to tell me I'm going to get a live action Static Shock movie, which is something I never would have asked for.
Right.
But like the 11-year-old in me is like, fuck,
yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Next thing you're going to tell me you're going to give me a fucking Freakazoid movie or some shit like that? I'm in. I am fucking in, dude.
Hey, man. The way we manifest shit, do you want? Is that what you want? What do you want?
I mean, I want a lot of things, Brandon. But if we get a Freakazoid movie out of this, life.
I know.
That's all more reasons to dance in the aisles of a Home Depot, man.
It's so weird. It's like, you know, it's like you got the genie in the bottle and you're like, do I ask for something big or is this real?
Right.
So you test it out first.
Yeah.
Like Ninja Turtle pops. Poof, Ninja Turtle pops.
Yeah.
Wait, I should ask for a car.
Dude, speaking of pops, did you see the Star Wars concept art pops that are coming out?
Don't think I have.
Oh my god, dude. They just announced them this week. They're dropping on Friday as part of like a Star Wars celebration, like con exclusive. Mm-hmm. And it's pops not based on the cinematic characters, but the original concept art of those characters.
Wow. Okay.
And the Darth Vader one, and it's an illustration you've seen a million times, right? Sure. But like to see it in pop form, it looks fucking dope.
I'll check it out. Badass.
I have every intention of trying to get that shit on Friday.
They're doing so much cool shit.
Yeah, dude. Like it's that like real sharp angular, like and they have the Chewbacca concept art where he kind of looks like Man-Bat almost.
Nice.
They have the Boba Fett concept art where he's like all white, almost looks like looks way more like a stormtrooper.
Yeah.
They have the Luke, was it Starkiller?
Yeah.
Is the original name for him. They have that as a pop, but that doesn't really look much different because it's still a person. God, I think that they were doing like 6 or 7. And those are the ones that I'm remembering. But they also were they're also doing one of the Funko sets from Empire Strikes Back of Yoda lifting the...
I saw that. I didn't see that.
That looks fucking cool.
The X-Wing, yes.
Like, I was stoked when I stumbled across those.
My only Star Wars news this week was I came across a guy selling weed that had Star Wars names. so I had to buy some Wookiee. Yeah.
What a Wookiee!
How do you not buy some Wookiee?
I mean, I would, and right. I don't even smoke weed.
That's exactly. Most of the weed I get is just for the names.
Right.
I really only, I'm a name brand kind of guy. I like the names. They make me laugh.
Yeah, my buddy Mike, who listens to the show, so he'll probably listen to this, a few months ago, he owns part of like a courier service, so he like travels a bunch. Delivering shit like all over the country. And he was doing a run where he was out in California earlier in the year. And it was when he had first started listening to the show.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I'm going to get you guys some Berserker.
Yeah.
And shit. And I don't remember what happened.
Still waiting.
Why that couldn't. No, there was a legitimate reason he texted me. He was like, oh, I couldn't pull it off. I was like, yeah, man, no worries.
I think just talking out loud, we're stumbling upon a business opportunity. We have the name Altered State.
Yes.
Weed goes with that. We need the Altered State weed.
Well, I feel like we're right there where weed's going to be legal in Missouri.
That's right.
I've got some friends in the industry. So we'll get the Altered State strain.
We have a dispensary together. / comic book store type scenario going on here.
I will talk to you off air.
Okay. Okay.
Because we could be manifesting a thing here, bud.
Patent pending.
I'm just saying, right.
No,
I'll talk to you when the mics are off. Fuck. I forgot my train of thought.
I totally apologize. I'm sorry. We were talking weed, your buddy Mike. I'm sorry.
No, I told that whole story because we were just talking about weed names.
We were doing Star Wars. You were talking about the pops that were on the concept art.
Now I'm just trying to figure out which pops I want to manifest, because if the Ninja Turtles are coming, and now I want
done right,
I want the concept art.
Yeah,
for the
I don't know why I thought of this the other day. I think it was just because I love my Conan pops.
Uh-huh.
But why do we not have a David Letterman or a Johnny Carson or a Jay Leno?
That is interesting.
Or
I would think a Johnny Carson, especially
a nice
would
Craig Ferguson
move.
Yeah, yeah. All the hosts could do a little.
There's got to be a Jimmy Fallon one.
There's not.
I feel
not
like,
even for an SNL character.
I feel like he whores himself out financially regularly. Like,
you
I feel
think
like,
so, yeah.
I feel like that's the one that surprises me most doesn't exist.
Yes. Nope.
A Seth Meyers pop, I would buy that.
Nothing. I know. I'd get them all. I think it'd be cool.
Yeah.
Johnny would be cool. A Johnny Ed McMahon would be sweet.
I feel like I would get all of them except Jay Leno.
I don't like Jay Leno either. I never liked Jay Leno.
Me neither.
I didn't like him as a comedian. I didn't understand why he got the Tonight Show. I just didn't get it.
Yeah, what
and
was,
I still don't.
What was really funny at my house growing up, I lived in a house divided because my dad was a Jay Leno man. My mom was a Letterman gal.
Yep.
And every night that was when they went their separate ways. Like, my mom would go, like, after they watched the 10 o'clock news together, and then my mom would go lay in bed and watch Letterman as she was going to bed, and my dad would fall asleep on the couch watching Jay Leno. Like, universally as a kid.
Right.
I lived in a house divided. And I was, and at the time, I didn't give a shit about either of them. I was a Conan kid.
Sure, me too.
You know, so it was like,
right.
I didn't develop an appreciation for Letterman until I got a little older, until I was in like my late teens. And then I really enjoyed him. And even then, like, I would give Leno a shot and I was just like, nah, you're just kind of a fucking
it's
weasel.
Cheesy. Too cheesy. I dug Letterman just because it felt, you know, and it was made to feel this way, like, for the younger people.
Yeah. You know, well, his sense of humor.
Yeah. Especially early on. I had a buddy. I mean, we were sixth grade, fifth grade. And it was his dad mostly, but he would record every SNL, every Letterman. So any Letterman you wanted to see, this guy had it on VHS. So
no shit.
We would do, you know, spend the night at his house.
Marathon.
Watch whatever was on that night and then watch 9 hours of stupid human tricks and all that kind of shit. I loved it, man. I probably never really sat down up until that point and watched Letterman. But after knowing that my buddy Jared, I haven't probably seen him for 30 years, I probably watched 100 hours of Letterman just by being at his house.
Well, I also feel like interview-wise, after Carson left, I feel like NBC made a conscious choice to become the silly is the wrong word, the frivolous, comfortable place for a guest to come to.
Yeah.
Whereas, like,
it was more wholesome family entertainment.
Well, not only was it wholesome, but it was like the interviews were never real.
Right.
Everything was always a softball.
Right. Right.
And then, like, Letterman took after Johnny Carson, and I feel like you could say the same thing now with Fallon and Colbert.
Sure.
It's the same dynamic where it's like you go to Jimmy Fallon, you're going to get a softball and then play a silly game.
Right.
Whereas, like, you go to Colbert or you went to Letterman, it was going to be a real interview.
Right.
Like, not that these guys are, like, berating their guests by any means.
But right.
Yeah, like,
right.
they weren't coming for people.
Right.
But they were genuinely asking real questions and expecting real answers. Right. And if they weren't getting real answers, they were going to be a little bit of a shithead about it. They're going to be a little sarcastic and, like, get it out of you.
Right.
Whereas, like, Jay Leno just wanted to be an asshole to the crowd in a monologue and then give fucking softballs to people.
Right.
And Jimmy Fallon just, like, aw shucks, wants to make everyone laugh and smile, which is great. I have no beef with that shtick.
Right,
like, the world needs people that just want empty joy, man. I have no
empty joy.
Yeah, that is not me poo-pooing on that. It's just also, like, if I'm going to watch an interview show, I want to see an interview.
Totally, I get that.
You know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I want to actually hear a thing
I think talk shows, as far as, like, the interview stuff go, you know, because of podcasts, people are like, it's all, it's not real questions. You can't,
right.
You can't in 2.5 minutes have a meaningful conversation or learn anything about somebody that you didn't already know from, you know, E! Network or whatever.
Well, the thing, I think, you know, this ties back into the fandom kind of perfectly. I feel like from a business sense, I fully understand the way things are going, and I'm not going to be that last asshole holding on. But as a fan, I honestly feel like it's a problem that now every creative entity has its own publicity, like, handled in-house. So these third party things that have always been fun and enjoyable to me don't really get to exist anymore. Like the talk show, why does any actor or creator or artist in any way need to go to a talk show? Because it's going to be pimped out through the studio on the internet.
Right.
Anyway, like,
right.
Anything you could want to know, like, why am I watching Gal Gadot on Jimmy Fallon when I can watch the extensive shit that DC Universe is going to put out online for me beforehand anyway?
Well, not to be a dick, but what's she wearing, first off?
Well, but you know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're
saying. Like, there's nothing, there's no excitement behind it.
Right.
And I was feeling the same way yesterday watching fandom shit.
Yep.
I loved it. But, like, the fandom, I feel like, was the final nail in the coffin of San Diego Comic-Con.
Right. Yeah.
Because it's like, we have D23, where Disney's going to do all of their really good Marvel and Lucasfilm stuff.
Right.
The fandom's not going away. Right. They'll do that forever. Because it was great yesterday.
Yeah.
But, like, it was only a few years ago that all the shit from D23 and all the shit from the fandom and all the shit from every other studio all happened at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
And that was so cool. Like, as a fan, I loved that. And like,
I do, but I also like the idea that there are more places to get that experience now. Does it dilute some of Comic-Con? Absolutely. And water it down and not make it as great. But it also gives other people the chance to do things you can't do at Comic-Con.
See, but I don't know that it does, because it Comic-Con International is, like, that's its own entity of people. And it's not like their stuff is getting taken away from them to go to other startups. It's just people taking their ball and going home and saying, oh, I can do it from my home instead, so I don't want to play.
Yeah.
I don't want to play at all.
Yeah.
If there was, like, a cool competitor to Comic-Con that was up and coming and people were like, oh, well, let's give these kids a shot, then I'm a little more interested. But really, it just feels like all these studios are like, ah, fuck it, we don't need them, so...
It wouldn't surprise me to see something kind of take the place of what we know as Comic-Con. Just because it got so big so fast that it's almost too much for that one weekend.
That's the thing. That's what this is going to be.
Totally.
We're going to... I feel like from now on, the whole month of July, we'll have, like, one weekend will be Fandome, one weekend will be D23,
right.
One weekend will be Comic-Con that'll handle all of the smaller stuff that's not under those two umbrellas.
Right.
Like,
I think, I mean, I have wrestling on here in the background. Do it kind of how they do for, when they do WrestleMania, they go to that city for, like, 2 weeks and do nothing but different events every fucking night for 2 weeks straight and own that city and own every... I mean, they have wrestlers doing stand-up comedy and they own every aspect of that city. Fucking do that. Take over the city.
Well, that's what they do in San Diego for a full week.
They do.
I've been there, man. I'm telling you. All of downtown is, for a full week, it's all of those actors are doing stand-up gigs in the small clubs. Every restaurant has a thing going on.
That's
every
true.
Event space.
That's true. Yeah, yeah.
But, like, now it's just getting, it's being becoming less of that because the big boys aren't doing what they were doing.
Right.
And again, from a business sense, I totally get it. Like, I understand the vertical integration model.
Right.
But
you're not going to show your top stuff when you got your thing coming up in 3 weeks.
And as a fan, that bums me out. But I also feel it's the same thing with, I'm a fan of talk shows. I am a fan of, I am a fan of the publicity machine.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's, I don't know, there's something strangely unifying to me about the publicity machine.
Yeah.
And when everyone takes control of their own stuff, there's great power in that, but there's also, like,
great responsibility.
We as fans then lose out on the thing that was like Comic-Con International was for the fans by the fans.
Right.
And now it's not. Now it's for the fans by the studio, but really kind of also for the studio. And I don't trust it necessarily as much as I did.
It's, the Comic-Con stuff and all that shit, it's your favorite band. It's Fall Out Boy that got fucking huge, and everybody loves them, and you fucking hate that because it was yours. And it's...
I mean, kind of.
You know what I mean? I'm not saying...
Kind of.
You still enjoy Fall Out Boy. You're not gonna...
Nah, I don't.
Well, you enjoyed...
I do.
You enjoy discovering that, you know what I mean?
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? But...
And I think there's some aspect of that. Of, you know, feeling something was precious
to me. A
little
betrayed,
But even more than that, it just feels like I just want it to stay together.
All I keep thinking is, tell them, Steve Dave.
Right.
It's, you know what I mean?
Well, I feel like it's not like people discovering my favorite band. It's like my favorite band is breaking up.
Oh, okay.
And then they're all going to start their own solo projects.
Yeah.
And I'm going to follow those solo projects. Like, yeah, I listened to Plus 44 and Angels and Airwaves,
right.
But I really just missed Blink.
I know what you mean, yeah.
And that's what this feels like, is like, oh, D23 is Plus 44. And,
right.
And Fandome is Angels and Airwaves. And both are cool.
Right.
But, like, I just want San Diego Comic Con. I just want my band to stay together.
That's fair. I get that. We're talking about talk shows and stuff. And I saw earlier today, you know, I'm a big 311 guy.
Yeah.
Their first network television debut was 30 years ago on Conan O'Brien. Playing Down is pretty fucking
cool.
Right? But that reminded me of, I used to, a lot of talk shows I would just watch depending on who the band was.
Oh, for sure.
Like, couldn't record it back then. Well, you could, but you had to set up your VCR or whatever. But you almost always watched it live. You never really watched it after the fact.
And I remember discovering bands on that show,
absolutely,
too.
Like, absolutely.
Against Me. Yes. First time I heard Against Me was when they were on Conan, when they were promoting, was it Reinventing Axl Rose or... I don't even remember which record they were promoting, but I remember seeing it being like, holy shit, that was fucking cool.
Yep.
And then it went to, you know, the mall the next day to find the record.
Yep.
And now finding, like, I get less excited finding bands than I used to, because it's not like, I love when I go to a show and I fall in love with the opener, like, that's cool to
me. Yes, agree.
But, like, when I hear something new on Spotify or, like, at the bar,
you find a new song. You never find a new...
Right. I'm like, oh, that's cool.
Right.
But, like, I miss the high of finding that new fucking thing, man.
Kind of on the same lines.
But maybe that's what getting old is. Maybe it's not about technology. It's just being old and shitty.
This is all of it. So, what was it? A couple months ago, we're doing a podcast, and afterwards, I'm like, oh, dude, I found this new song. Let me play this song. And it was that...
the one that's on the Dunkin' commercials
yes.
now?
2 days yes. later, it's on the fucking Dunkin' Donuts
yep.
commercials.
I thought
and I'm like,
about you immediately.
Like, how fucking old am I? I'm like, I thought this was like, I'm picking this up out of Dunkin' Donuts had it months ago. Like,
right.
Fuck me, man.
Son of a bitch.
I know nothing about
I'm
the music.
I'm part of the machine.
Oh, I felt like such an old fuck. I'm like, oh. But then again, I wanted some Dunkin', so I worked out.
Right.
It worked out.
They'd figured it out.
I was so embarrassed. Like, I didn't want to bring it up. Because I'm like, oh, he's going to bring it up. He's going to shit all over me. Like, hey, remember that great song you told me about? It's the Dunkin' Donuts commercial.
I was
going to
text you.
I mean, it was literally 2 days later when
yeah,
I saw it. And I'm like,
oh, my God.
Oh, man.
I
still enjoy the song, but I was like, oh, Jesus.
Speaking Christ. Of feeling old, I did find a new thing that I loved last night. But I loved it, but it did also kind of make me feel old.
Yeah.
New show on Netflix called Teenage Bounty Hunters.
Okay.
This is what we watched trailer. Looked funny.
Yep.
It's got a real Veronica Mars, Buffy the Vampire Slayer feel to it.
Okay.
But it's about, Libby and I watched a pilot last night. It's like these twin girls in Atlanta who are like seniors in high school. And they're in like this hyper Christian family. And then in the first couple of minutes through some weird hijinks, they like kind of become bounty hunters.
Okay.
And then like this older bounty hunter kind of takes them under their wings. It's super funny. It's super charming. It's Veronica Mars
All right.
in a lot of ways.
All right.
And it was like, and I love it for that. And I laughed when I was watching it. It was really fucking delightful. It was really funny. But then when I got done, I was like, it was the same feeling I had when I found Veronica Mars. But I was like, when I found Veronica Mars, I was 17. And
right.
now I'm 32. So
it's a different feeling.
Like,
right.
It felt real different
right.
to be like, oh, I don't relate to the main characters. I'm like the old guy bounty hunter who's taking them under their wing.
Right.
That's fucking shitty.
I don't know how to word this without it sounding really awkward and probably inappropriate. But I'm watching Saved by the Bell earlier yesterday. The old ones, like, you know, which
right.
I loved as a kid.
Uh-huh.
And I forget which episode it was, but Kelly shows up in a bikini, right?
Yeah, he still felt a little cramped.
Well, and I'm like, I remember jerking off to this. Does...
Oh, shit.
What, right?
And like Tiffany Amber Thiessen is my age, so it's like, but it's not that fucked up. But now that I'm 40 and she's 18,
I'm not doing it now.
It's fucking
but I'm
weird.
Just saying that popped in your head, and that ruins everything. You can't not think that after it's in your head. You know what I mean?
That's incredible.
Yeah, yeah. Anyways, I don't know.
Oh, Kelly Kapowski.
Didn't need to be said. Don't know why I said it. Probably shouldn't have. But if nothing else, we'll find out who our real friends are right. If you listen this deep into the podcast.
That's the kind of hard-hitting content people come here for, Brandon.
Like, I'm waiting to walk into DB's in a week or two and be like, someone be like, oh, so Kelly Kapowski. but anyway, so SummerSlam's on here in the background. Got my buddy Bray Wyatt coming down, looking
Fiend's
all crazy.
Coming out. We got to jump off, I'm sure, because I don't want you to miss it.
I only had one thing I wanted to mention.
Okay.
I'm not done with Umbrella Academy yet.
Okay.
Did you finish it?
Yep.
I'm like on seven or eight.
Okay.
And I'm digging it.
Yeah.
You know what I don't like?
Huh.
Ellen Page.
Really?
She takes me out of everything. I feel like she doesn't want to be there.
I see that. She's got a little bit of a, what's
I'm
her name?
Better
Twilight
than you.
Girl.
Yeah, yeah.
What's her name? Why am I blanking on it right now?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
The one who was shitty and everything until Charlie's Angels and then she was awesome in there.
Yeah, yeah. But she kind of has that vibe. Like, I'm here. This is what I do. And I don't know.
I see that.
She takes me out of a lot of scenes.
Bothers me.
I
get that.
I'm digging it. I was kind of worried. I'm like, is this going to be kind of the first few episodes were a lot of story.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot happening. Just a lot of, hey, what have you been
up
to?
It was all a lot of
setup.
And,
it was.
And
I've been here for 2 years. I've been here for 1 year. I've been here for 3 months. You know, just a lot of that kind of.
It kind of felt like the beginning of the last season of Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, oh, we haven't seen each other in a while.
Right.
What's up?
I don't care.
But as a viewer, like, I already know.
I know what's up.
So have this conversation off screen.
Right. I got married. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't, you know.
Have this conversation off screen.
Right. But other than that, I'm in, I'm digging it. I'm having fun with it. But yeah, Ellen Page. But then again, I can't think of anything I've seen her in where I'm like, oh, love that.
Juno.
Eh.
Really?
Didn't do anything for me.
I love, you know, that could also be an age. Like I was Juno came out when I was like 19, probably 19 or 20.
Yep.
And like that movie I understood in a certain way. And like, I was also like fresh off my first couple of teenage pregnancy scares. Cause you know, we've all been there. Right. I mean, maybe not, but
no, I was too busy. I was busy jerking it to Kelly Kapowski. We've already established this.
No, you were busy actually having kids.
Yeah, right. Hey, I was 20.
No, when I was in high school, I'll never forget my first real pregnancy scare. I'd obviously bought some pregnancy tests, and my girlfriend does it, and it's negative. It's like, okay. And then, like, I threw the other two in, like, the glove compartment of my car.
Yeah.
And then my dad was in my car with me.
Oh, Jesus.
And I needed an oil change. And I was like, it was one of those, it was, like, real organic. We were driving somewhere.
Yeah.
And I had mentioned that I needed an oil change. And he was like, oh, we got to undo drive through Jiffy Lube now. I was like, oh, all right. And he says, what kind of oil does it take? Which, like, obviously the people at Jiffy Lube
would
fucking
know.
Scan it.
Right.
I was like, I don't know. And he's like, let me look it up. Oh, and he opens my glove box to see the thing. And he finds the pregnancy test there.
It takes blue.
he looked at it. And like, I had an immediate panic where I was like, should I blame it on Gibson? No. And my dad just goes, do I have to be worried? Nope, we're cool. He says, all right. And he put him back in the glove box and we never spoke of it again.
As you would. Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
The ultimate father-son moment.
That's fantastic. That's so fantastic.
And then naturally I didn't learn my lesson. There was like four more of them. but then like Juno came out and like, so I got it.
Right.
And it was one of those right time, right place.
Yeah. Yeah.
That I loved. And I was also I was in on Arrested Development from the beginning.
Yeah.
So seeing Michael Cera and Jason Bateman reunited on that was like, oh, cool. This is fucking
totally.
Cool. Like
totally.
A little mini Arrested D.
Yeah.
Reunion. Yeah. Even though they didn't really share screen time, it was just kind of cool. But
yeah, so Ellen Page, I don't like her. That's all I got, man. You got anything else fun you want to talk about?
SummerSlam's on in the background. Yep. So let's see what this Fiend's got going on. It looks like he's beating up somebody.
Always.
So we will check in with y'all next week.
Thank you.
See ya.